Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Eric Osnes from Home Street Bank.
And I'm Marissa Kleiss of Team Reba, RE/MAX Metro Eastside.
And we have Clark Dixon with Home Street Bank with us. And Clark is the guru in our appraisal department. And I'm so happy that we get to work together. Clark, I really got to say that. You know, I've done some tours with some very large banks, and you know, a lot of the times the appraisal departments in those banks are uncaring. You know, it's very difficult to talk with and really work on solutions. And that's the one thing I sure have to give kudos to you and your team. So responsive, you know, when we have questions or concerns about things, you know, it really, really helps to have a group that's caring. So thank you for that. And no, I really mean that. Marissa's laughing at me, but no it's
great.
Really true.
Thank
so
you.
True.
It is definitely a team effort. It's the best appraisal team I've ever worked with, if that sounds shamelessly plugging something, but it is.
No, they're good people.
And, you got a love fest going on here.
I know. So, Clark, during the break, we were talking just a little bit about sort of an assessed value versus an appraisal value. A lot of consumers, homeowners out there will look at their tax assessed value and think, well, that's pretty accurate indication of what their home is worth. Care to comment on that?
I can. Marissa mentioned earlier that, you know, prices were up 14% over last year. So if you're looking at an assessor who may have looked at your home in early 2015
right.
to give you a 2016 assessment, and you're looking at a market value at the end of 2016, it could be 2 years of that mm-hmm. kind of appreciation that you're looking at, that your assessed value differential may come through. The assessor only looks at a home periodically, so they don't see it every year. Mm-hmm. They also use mathematical models, which mathematical models are great if you have homogeneous data, mm-hmm. right? So, for example, if you're in Southern California in a 350-unit subdivision, and the difference in one home to the next is whether you want a coral roof or a deep coral roof,
right.
you know, then you can say, hey, you know, the assessed value is probably relevant, you know, if you've got some transactions
from
the past year. In the Northwest, we don't have that. We've had neighborhoods that have built up over decades at a time with builders that might build 3 or 4 or 5 homes at a time. And you can go into any neighborhood in Seattle or a lot of neighborhoods on the east side, and they're going to be heterogeneous, to use a highly technical term.
Right, right.
You know, so they're not going to be the same, right? And right. so if you have a 90-year-old home, you can have any stage of condition inside, and the assessor won't know because it's been 4 years since they saw your home.
That's right.
So I don't know that as much as they try to match market value with assessed value, I think they have a very difficult job, and it becomes very, very difficult to try and do that with the heterogeneous housing stock that we have in the Pacific Northwest.
Got it. So the other big tool out there for a homeowner to figure out what their home is worth is the Z word, Zillow. and you know, I have a very, you know, sort of seat of the pants tracking of Zillow values versus what I see an appraisal value come in at. And sometimes they're spot on, and other times it's not even close. So how does a consumer use that as a tool?
Cautiously.
Yeah.
I would agree.
I think in large part what we have in the Northwest is fairly unique, and that's called a basement. And so when you have a basement, sometimes the realtor includes it in the above grade gross living area, mm-hmm. and sometimes they don't, and the counties don't at all. So Zillow is dependent upon the assessor for gross living area. It might have a full walkout or daylight basement that's finished to the exact same quality as the main home, but it's not covered in mm-hmm. your Zestimate. And in other cases, they may be going off of the realtor square footage, which has included that,
mm-hmm.
but it's a completely unfinished basement that doesn't really contribute. It only contributes a small percentage
right.
of the overall gross living area contribution value. So it's oftentimes Zillow's at the mercy of the data. And when the data is not good or the data is not consistent, then mm-hmm. it makes it very difficult on Zillow or any other mathematical model or automated value model that you're trying to determine a market value with bad data or inconsistent data.
Absolutely. And I've noticed a homeowner can actually go to Zillow and update or correct information on their home. So if that's something that you're interested in and even tracking it yourself, you can do that and update it. But that's a really good point that you brought up, though, Clark, because and I hear this argument quite often. If you have a basement or anything that's below grade, an appraiser is not going to assign the same value for bedrooms or bathrooms below grade as they are for bedrooms or bathrooms above grade. Is that correct?
Many won't.
Okay.
You know, if I'm going to sit down over coffee and I'm going to have an argument with an appraiser about a basement, oftentimes I'm going to speak to them about how come a bedroom above grade is worth $5,000 or $10,000, all other things equal, and below grade it's worth nothing. Mm-hmm. So does the market really react that way? Or is that a way that you've been taught? Or is that the expectation that you've artificially placed in the appraisal process? So, I mean, there are some things that we as an industry can get better at, and that's really reflecting more how the market reacts to things as opposed to not giving credit for a bedroom because that's the way we were taught to do it or that's the way we've always done it and not stepping off of that.
Got it. And when you say the market, so is the view of an appraiser supposed to be, this is what I always understood, that I'm a cash buyer, I've got X amount of cash, and I'm looking at home A or home B, and assuming, the differences between them, how much am I willing to pay? So am I going to pay more for the home A that has four bedrooms and they're all upstairs, or am I going to pay the same amount for home B that has four bedrooms, two of them are upstairs, and two of them are in the basement?
Depends on if you have teenagers.
or a mother-in-law or something
or
like that.
Or a mother-in-law. Right. I didn't want to go down there. I love my mother-in-law.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. And, okay, well, this all makes good sense. So for a typical homeowner, I mean, these are questions that are going to be way outside of their pay grade. You know, and somebody's, they're thinking of putting their home on the market or thinking of refinancing it. And we're saying, well, what do you figure the home is worth or what do I list this home for? I mean, they're going to rely on the expertise of their real estate agent to kind mm-hmm. of guide them and set an appropriate price. But there's also some things that a homeowner can do. Let's say that they're just going to start a refinance. Lock your rate in now, folks, and we know we're going to need an appraisal for that. What are some tips that you would give for somebody if they're either thinking of refinancing or maybe putting their home on the market? You know that a homeowner can do to either help prep their home for appraisal or even guide their realtor to do the right things.
Yeah, I was going to say this would apply to a homeowner or a realtor. I think they're easily the same. Mm-hmm. In trying to get the best value for your home. I think there's five things that you can do. And the first thing is to make sure that you meet the appraiser, whether you're the realtor or the homeowner, make sure you meet the appraiser at the appraisal inspection. Mm-hmm. And that ensures that they're not there unsupervised. And I say that tongue in cheek because you want the opportunity to give them as much good information about that property as possible, mm-hmm. right? If they're left to their own devices, then they have to guess at times. So, for example, the appraiser drives up to property and looks at a home, and he or she says to themselves, wow, that home is in really good condition. Mm-hmm. It's got a newer roof, and it's got newer paint on the outside, and then landscaping's very nice. They go into the home, they look at the kitchen, they say, wow, the kitchen's been remodeled. It looks really good. The bathrooms are in great shape. The flooring looks really nice. And, oh, by the way, I've got to check to make sure that the hot water tank is double strapped. So I'm going to open the door to the hot water tank. And, yep, it's double strapped. Close the door. Good. I've got all the information I need. Mm-hmm. That's a lot different than if you're the homeowner or the realtor and you've got a one-page summary that says the roof is 1 year old and the hot water tank is 6 months old and mm-hmm. the kitchen was remodeled last year and the exterior paint is brand new and the roof is 3 years old. That is factual information that has an influence now on what the appraiser thinks about this home. And maybe now it goes from being in good condition to very good condition in the appraiser's head. And you've had an influence on the appraiser without undue influence because you provided factual data about what's going on specifically in that home.
Got it.
And if you're a realtor, first of all, you're going to meet the appraiser, then you're going to provide this information in a one-page summary, make it easy on the appraiser, keep it summarized and easy. 12-page dissertations are not something that's going to help your cause.
Keep it simple, stupid.
So if you can then provide one or two or three really good comparable sales from the neighborhood, not the current market analysis that you did for the seller, because the appraiser's eyes are going to gloss over and think, wow, 40 pages of bar charts and pie charts and color glossy photos, that's terrific, but I don't have time.
Yeah.
So, but if you give them two or three sales that are selected because they're really good comparable sales and not chosen for a price point, right? Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, realtors will try and choose a comp because it's a certain price point and they want the appraiser leaning that direction. But if it's not a comparable or substitutable sale, then the appraiser says, well, I'm probably not going to even consider it because it's not a comp.
Yep.
And so your efforts are wasted. The other thing that you can do, and this is really important, and it's something that is I rarely see it in my career as an appraiser, and that is if you're the realtor and you've gone on tour or you've shown this particular home to somebody, you've been inside that home. You have an advantage over the appraiser who doesn't go on tour. And they look, take a look at a side-by-side listing, and one selling for $650 and the other selling for $600, and they look exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the value? Well, the value is $625, isn't it? Because the appraiser isn't going to risk things because he or she doesn't know what the differential is. But if you provide a copy of that listing to the appraiser and it factually says, this one has very strong pet odors, mm-hmm. right? And so there's some $50,000 market resistance to that pet odor. It's not in there because the realtor doesn't put the listing in there and say, you know, if you really love pet odors, you've got to get down to see this one because this one really stinks.
It's too bad we don't have smell-o-vision on some of our listings. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, so you know, show up, bring a copy of the contract to confirm the sale price with the appraiser because oftentimes the only thing they have is the contract if they're sent the wrong contract. So if they're sent the wrong contract, then and they're off by $10,000, the appraiser thinks that's the contract. And both prices could be in the range, and the appraiser's going to reconcile to the sale price because that's a reasonable expectation for market value. So show up, confirm the sale with the contract with the appraiser, mm-hmm. bring two or three really good comps, have a summary sheet of what makes that house special, unique, better, different than the others. And then that one or two sales that, you know, the floor plan's chopped up, it doesn't look right, it smells funny, and then there's some market resistance. And those are the five things I would suggest any homeowner realtor.
Nobody wants to buy a smelly home. Stay tuned. When we come back, we've got more with Clark Dixon talking appraisals today on Open House with Team Reba.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.